God, hold on. Open the Bibles to the book Psalms chapter 19. If you want to be kind of our jumping off point, I like to work a text, like you know, but tonight I'm going to cover a subject. I'm just warming it up.
Psalms chapter 19 is where we're going to be at this evening. If you don't mind, I shouldn't have let you sit down. Let's all stand and show respect to reading the scriptures. Psalms chapter 19. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have this great privilege of ministering your word. We're thankful for all the folks that are here this evening. And Lord, we believe that they're here by a divine appointment. We pray your blessing on this meeting. We pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would be here. We pray that perhaps someone that maybe has drifted would be brought back to a close fellowship with you again, Lord. We pray that the church would be edified. And Father, if there be anybody unsaved here tonight, we pray that they come to saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. We'll do kind of a different styled kind of message that I want to give to you tonight. Tonight's message, what we're going to do is look at five types of fools in the Bible. Five types of fools. And what the message title is going to be is, "What kind of fool am I?" Now, if you look that up on the internet, you'll probably get Sammy Davis Jr. I believe he's the one that sung that song. But anyhow, that's what we're going to cover tonight. Five types of fools. Our message title, "What kind of fool am I?" Now, the first fool we're going to look at tonight is the atheistic fool. Now, we talked about him a little bit yesterday. We'll talk about him a little bit more tonight. You can't talk about a fool unless you bring up the atheistic fool. Now, the reason why he's called that, Psalms 14 and verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." It says it in Psalms 14, 1. Also says it in Psalms 53 and verse 1. The main reason why he's a fool, as we talked about yesterday, is because he's looking at handiwork, but he doesn't see the handyman. And that's just, beloved, that's just how we think anytime we see anything that is made. We talked about Don's wonderful, beautiful pulpit. He talks about all the time. I want you to know something. I know the builder of this thing. I know the man's name. I know where he lives. He's a good personal friend of mine. And you don't know him. I know Don knows him. He loves Don for some reason, but he knows Don, but you don't know him. But when you looked at this pulpit, though you didn't know who the handyman was, you know that there had to be a handyman that made this pulpit. I mean, we just assume that in anything that we see that is made in this world. That's the reason why the Bible calls someone that doesn't see God in the creation. That's the reason why we call them a what? Not really us. That's why the Bible calls them a fool. To look at something that's clearly been made and to say it just happened by chance is a foolish thing. We don't look at anything and just assume an explosion established it. Well, beloved, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 says that we are to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We're raising a generation of young people in this nation that don't believe in God. And don't believe, beloved, don't believe that this Bible is a credible book. They went after Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, as we've already said. And you know what else they're going after now, don't you? Genesis 2, verses 24 and 25. Male and female created He them. They've tried to redefine marriage. Well, if Genesis 1:1's wrong, then the other parts of it could be wrong too. You see, attack on biblical creation is an attack on the whole book. And now we're beginning to reap the benefits of generations of children that have been raised up to not believe in a God. And when you talk about Bible creation, they act like it's a fairy tale. And they act like you're unlearned. Some of the most educated scientific minds in history believed in Bible creation. And I tell you what, beloved, it's a terrible thing what they're doing to our young people. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I don't want to preach on this whole thing again, but I could do a whole message on this real easy. Remember, all five fools that we're looking at tonight's a good message on each one. I'm going to do my best to stay disciplined and not do a mess or five messages in one shot. But in Romans chapter 1, let's begin in verse 20. Creation is an evidence of God. Does everybody in the house agree? I mean, even a lost man can look at the creation, can't they? And men, as they look at the creation, should see from that there has to be a designer. Where there's handiwork, there's always a handy man. And nothing is as complex as the creation is. Notice what it says here. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Without excuse. He said, well, I didn't know there was God. Well, you're standing on His creation. You can look at the sky and you can look at the trees and you look at all this handiwork. It screams God. It's a sad thing when people look at all of this handiwork and throw it out to chance. And I don't think that makes common sense, because we don't look at anything else that way. Anything we see. I mean, you could look at a painting. I used to have a painter in our church, and she'd paint certain pictures. You woke up and you look at a picture, and you see the order and the design in a painting, in a picture. What do you say when you look at a picture? Who painted it? Who made this picture? You just assume that anytime you look at anything that's been made. Notice what else it says. You know, the creation, beloved, is so clear that it renders men without what? Without excuse. It has a silent witness to everybody that walks on this planet. There is a God that made it. Every time you see a sun come up or a sun come down or a rain fall from heaven, it's an evidence that there is a God. Foolish to look at all these things and assume there's not one. They're without what? Without excuse. The handiwork declares our God. Now, you can't be saved just by believing Bible creation, but that should tell you that there is a God that you need to seek after by looking at the creation. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They have become what? Fools. This is the atheistic fool. And what do they like to be known for? Wisdom. More degrees than a thermometer, some of them have. They really do. But the Bible says they are fools. They're looking at something that's been made and they throw it out to chance. We had our kids, our summer camp. We had it down at Beach Fork Lake. And you know what? Down at Beach Fork Lake, there's a little cabin that they found up in the woods. Didn't he know it was there? They made the park, and somebody went up one day and they found this cabin. Really? And because that's what they told me anyhow. I said, where'd the cabin come from, you know? And they said, well, they don't know who, they said they don't know who did what. They just assumed a maker. He said, well, we don't know who did. We don't know who made it. I mean, they seen that it had order. It had a door. It had windows. You know, it was plumbed up right and everything. They just assumed a maker. I mean, nobody with any common sense that would walk in the woods and see a cabin would look at it and say, hey, how did that get there? We assume that somebody had to put it there. We assume that in everything we look at in this world, yet we look at our human bodies and we look at all this handiwork and we say it was created or started in motion by boom, by explosion. That's why it's foolish. It says in verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man and the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Verse 24, and that scares me. Verse 24 scares me a little bit. Wherefore God gave them, what to say? Wherefore God gave them up. That's a dangerous statement. They didn't want to acknowledge that there's a God. The light that God gave, they rejected it and they corrupted it. So what did God do? You know, there's a certain amount of sin that our God will restrain. But as a nation continues to take His truth and ridicule it, deny His creative power, deny Him as God, He'll give them up. And what He does, beloved, is He removes His restraining hand, brother. He'll remove His restraining hand and He'll just let it go. And beloved, I don't know that we ain't there. These generations and generations is coming home to roost now. You tell somebody something's a sin, they say, who do you think you are to say that's a sin? Well, the Bible says it's a sin. Oh, that book's out of date. And that's where we're at. I remember a time when even lost people had a respect for the Word. They might not have trusted Jesus as their Savior, but they respected God's house and they respected God's people. You don't have that now. You don't have that now. God gave them up to uncleanliness. Now this is where we're at, beloved. God gave them up to uncleanliness, to the lust of their own bodies, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now look at verse 26, beloved. This is where we're at. This is where all of this has come from. Notice what it says. For this cause, God gave them up to what kind of affections? Vile affection. Vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Also, likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meant. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them, there you have it again, God gave them over to a reprobate man. You know what a reprobate man is? A mind void of judgment. A mind that calls evil good and good evil. Does everybody in the house see that today? That's where we're at. You say, Pastor, where did all that get started at? It started years back when they went after Genesis 1:1. And now we're raising, I mean, generations of kids that don't believe in the Bible. Don't believe in a handyman. Don't believe that the creation is God's handiwork. It declares His glory. It declares His glory. But it's thrown out the chance. Well, it's foolish to believe an explosion can start order. You don't ever see that happen. But where there's handiwork, there's always a handy man, and that handy man is our God. Amen. Our God created this world. I hope you're not an atheistic fool here tonight. I hope you're not. I hope you don't buy into that lie that's told and taught and accepted as being true. I've had several of my young people in my church who go to college, and man, I've seen some of them make stands and do well. They're good at debate. And they'll take them on, and they've done well. That tickles me, you know. And then they go longer in that thing. And they go a little bit higher education. And then they go a little bit higher. And oh, I've seen them falter. I've seen them falter. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up that God created this world in 6 24-hour days. Don't ever give that up. You can't eat that. And you know who needs to teach it first? The parents need to teach it. It needs to be taught in the home, and it needs to be taught at the church. And then they need to be taught how to defend what they believe. Let's move on to number two. I didn't want to preach that long on that one. I'll just start now. Five types of fools is what we're looking at. First type of fool we see is the atheistic fool. Second type of fool is seen in Matthew 25. Now, again, I've got to be careful because all these are sermons. You ever preach five sermons, Don, at one time? All these are sermons that by themselves easy. But I want to put this under this title, Five Types of Fools. What kind of fool am I? I hope you're not an atheistic fool. I really do. Matthew chapter 5 is the parable of the 10 virgins. And in this particular parable, I'm not going to go deep in it, I'm just going to mention, I assume everybody knows the parable of the 10 virgins. Of course, in a Jewish wedding, the focal point isn't the coming in of the bride. In a Jewish wedding, it's completely different. It's the coming of the bridegroom. I mean, when I do a wedding, buddy, the focal point is the bride. Oh, she comes in, that big white garment on, and all the people stand up. There she comes. And that poor groom, I look at him, he said, what am I supposed to do? Just sit there and just stand there and try to look intelligent, would you? I mean, really. I mean, mercy. But she's the focal point. They didn't play music for him when he walked in. No, it's Jesus, but not in a Jewish wedding. In a Jewish wedding, the focus is the coming of the who? The bridegroom. And you know what? They never knew for sure when he's coming. And that's why they always had to be what? Always had to be ready for the coming of the bridegroom. 10 attendants are described here in Matthew chapter 25. 10 attendants. 5 of them were wise. 5 of them were foolish. All 10 of them had lamps, but only 5 had oil in their lamps. The other 5 didn't have no oil in their lamps. Well, they were unprepared, wasn't they? You know something? All 10 of the attendants knew. All 10 of them. I want everybody to get this. All 10 of them believed the bridegroom was coming. Does everybody agree? All 10 of them believed the bridegroom was coming. But only 5 of them were ready for the coming of the bridegroom. There's a lot of people like that, Brother Don. They actually believe that Jesus one day is going to come. But they've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. They've never done it. Do you know any lost people? How many lost people do you know that believe that Jesus could come at any time? I know a lot of them. And I'll talk to them about it and they'll go, oh, I don't want Him to come now. And I say, well, why don't you want Him? Well, I'm not ready. How many people do you know that's that way? They believe that Jesus is going to come, but they don't have no oil in their lamp. They haven't made no preparation for Him. They've never trusted Him as their Savior. This text says five of these was what? Wise. Five of these was foolish. Why? They knew the bridegroom was coming. They didn't know when the exact time he was coming. But guess what they never did? They never prepared themselves until it was too what? Too late. They come and took them to the marriage feast. And then the door was what? Closed. I hope that doesn't describe you. You may be here tonight and you believe the preaching of the gospel. You believe it as far as believing it's true. You may believe in heaven and you might believe in hell. Maybe I'm describing you. But you've never trusted Jesus. You've never asked Him to save you. Never. You prayed on one of these days, because you got a lamp. You prayed on one of these days putting oil in her. But just not now. I've done funeral services of people that was that way. And they've come and they said, "Pastor, you knew them." I said, "Yeah, I did." And I witnessed to them too, Lord. I gave them things to listen to. I talked to them about the Lord. And they say, here's what they always ask the preacher. "You think he's all right?" And I say, "Well, he never said nothing. I don't know." You know, if you was a thief on the crosses, brother, you heard your old thieving brother died on the cross, you'd have swore he went to hell, wouldn't you? You'd have been wrong, though. I mean, someone knows the way, there's always hope. But I tell you what, beloved, it's great when you know that your loved ones trusted Jesus. But a lot of times what I'll say, I'll go, "Listen, I know they knew. I told them." But whether or not they trusted, I don't know that they ever did. You can't comfort a family with that. You cannot comfort a family with that. Are you a procrastinating fool? Is there any procrastinating fools here tonight? I'm going to ask you to quit doing that. I'm going to ask you to trust you. You don't have to wait to the end of the meeting. You can trust Him right there where you sit. You've heard the way. You know the way. You believe He's coming, but you've never trusted the way. How foolish is that? You're one breath from eternity. One breath from eternity. Well, that's a procrastinating fool. Remember old Felix, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts chapter 24? He reasoned with him of righteousness, didn't he? And judgment to come. Remember what the Bible says about old Felix? He trembled. I mean to tell you, it shook him up. He trembled, all right. You think Felix was saved, though? I'm asking. We don't know, do we? No. I don't know if he got saved later. I know he knew the way. But we don't know whether he did what? Bible doesn't say he did. You know what he did? He trembled, but he never trusted. A lot of people that way, too. Man, I've talked to people who are lost. They're scared to death of hell. Scared to death of it. But they never trust Jesus. They're living under condemnation, but never trust the one, Lord Jesus, which could deliver them from condemnation. Isn't that a sad state? Two types of fools, the atheistic fool, the procrastinating fool. The third type of fool's in Luke chapter 12. Now we know him enough that I don't have to read that, do I? Luke 12. Just want to show you a little something from it. Luke chapter 12. Now there's a warning sign in verse 15. I want you to see the warning sign. It says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness." People say there ain't no idols in America. One of the biggest idols is get. Covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. That's what drives people. I'm so sick of our young people being programmed, so now you need to be successful and you need to get this and get that so that you can buy this and buy that. I want to tell you something, beloved. You're not successful if you die and go to hell at the end of your days. That's not being a success. That's the worst form of failure, isn't it not? This man wanted to get one big harvest so that he could retire and sit back and enjoy life. That's where most people that I know that's not saved, that's what they live for. They're looking forward to that retirement. And they're going to get them a fishing boat, and they're going to live by the lake, and then they're going to enjoy life. How long does those things last anyhow? How long does a retirement last? Many times it don't last very long at all. This old boy, this old rich fool they call him here, his retirement didn't even last one day. He planned on it all these days. And when he got enough harvest laid back to where he could retire, he says, "Now, I've arrived. I got enough goods laid up for many years, and I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to eat, drink, and I'm going to be merry." I know a lot of people like this right here. And you know what people call people like this? They call them successes. God said, "Thou fool." He wasted his life. "This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Whose shall these things be that thou hast provided?" Leave it behind. You ever see one of them big sales? You ever seen an estate sale? Raise your hand. You ever see one of them estate sales? Boy, them's dandies. That's somebody that was rich, that accumulated a great amount of wealth, and they died and they left it behind. And they go out into eternity lost and not prepared. It's a covetous fool. You know what the Lord used in my life when I was young? Still young, but I mean, do you know what the Lord used in my life? Is Matthew 16:26. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? That tore me up, man, because I believed in hell. I believed in heaven. I believed in eternity. Believed in it. And I got to thinking, what would it profit if I'd get all these things or do all these accomplishments and die and go to hell at the end of my days? That's a foolish way to live, is it not? That's the covetous fool. Let's turn to Matthew 23 and let's get our fourth type of fool. Matthew chapter 23. This is the religious fool. This is the religious fool. There's a lot of religious fools, a great host of them. And in Matthew 23, you read the whole chapter when you go home. Oh, you talk about a rebuke someone getting. Jesus gives these Pharisees an absolute total rebuke in the book of Matthew chapter 23. Notice what he says to them in verses. Let's begin at verse 13. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Boy, that's awful, isn't it? It's true, though. They were. Just acting out a part. Were they religious? Yeah. Did they believe in God? Yes. Did they try to live the Ten Commandments? Yes. Did they believe in creation? Yes. Did they try to be moral in their conduct? Yes. Was they saved? No. They rejected the means of salvation, who was the Lord Jesus. They were religious what? They were religious fools. Verse 14, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You devour widows' houses, for pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." They had more knowledge. They were given more light. Their judgment would be greater. Now watch this now. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You can pass sea and land, to make one proselyte. Now listen, when he is made, you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourself. These were religious fools. Notice what else it says. Just keep on reading here just a little bit. Woe unto you, ye blind guides. Well, if you have a guide, you don't want a blind guide, do you? Can you imagine? Blind guides. They claimed to know the Lord, but in all truth, they were blinded. They couldn't see the truth. They couldn't see it. They were blind guides. Woe unto you, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And that's what he calls them. Ye what? Ye fools and blind. Couldn't see. The worst form of blindness is not physical blindness. The worst form of blindness is spiritual blindness. God can open the eyes, and you see, He can open the eyes of the blind spiritually. And they see Christ, and they see more than people that have two good eyes and ears. They can. Well, it's a sad state of affairs. They were blind guides. There's a great host of them today. It don't make no difference where you go to church, just so you go. You ever heard that? I'm glad that didn't kick off at that time. It does make a difference where you go to church. You don't want to go to a place where there's blind guides there. You don't want to go to a place that preaches a false gospel. You want to go to a place where you can hear the message of grace. You want to go to a place that teaches salvation is not by your works. You don't want to go to a place where you have religious fools. Matthew 7 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we casted out demons, and in your name we done many wonderful works. Did y'all hear any mention of Jesus in that? Anything about Christ and His righteousness in that? Nothing. And He will say to the men, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's a great host of people, Brother Don. What kind of fools are they? They are religious fools. Now those are four that I've given you so far. I just got one more. What do you think about that? Atheistic fool, procrastinating fool, covetous fool, and religious fool. I have one more fool that I'm going to share with you tonight. And he's given in 1st, you don't have to turn there, he's given in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 10. You know what kind of fool that is? Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake. That's a good fool. If you want to be a fool, you want to be that kind of fool. Now, beloved, when the world looks at us and we're living for the eternal, not the temporary, and our life is about the Lord and seeking to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, you know what the world will call you? He's a fool. Have you ever been called a fool? Sometimes it happens. You ever stand for Bible truth and someone say that you're foolish or call you unlearned or uneducated? You'll have that happen a time or two. It's being a fool for Christ's sake. There was a man, he's a missionary, and he was killed on the mission field. Actually, the men he was trying to minister to, the tribe he was trying to minister to, killed him. His name was Jim Elliott. And they found a note in his tent, and I'm going to tell you what was on that note. It says this, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Let me say it one more time. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Brother, could you imagine what Egypt thought of Brother Moses? 40 years, hey, he had it all. Hey, isn't that what he had it all? The son of Pharaoh's daughter. 40 years old. All the riches of Egypt. Could have popped up, maybe even been Pharaoh one of these days. He had riches. He had anything you would want physically. You know what the Bible said he did? When he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And remember, she's the one that brought him out of the river. How could he do me this way? He's a betrayer. Boy, the decision of Moses was something. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You say, Jeff, is there pleasure in sin? Yeah. Yeah, there's pleasure in sin. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say there's pleasure in sin. There is. But it's fleeting. And it's not lasting. The pleasures of sin are just for a what? Season. Beloved, you're an eternal being. What you need to be concerned about tonight is eternity. You need to know Him. What kind of fool are you? Are you an atheistic fool? Procrastinating fool? Don't you think it's time to trust Jesus? Don't you think it's time? Are you a covetous fool? Maybe you're not, and you say you're saved, but your whole world is about... You ever seen anybody do that? They claim to know the Lord, but they don't got time for the Lord. They're too busy wreaking everything together. One of these days they're going to serve Jesus, but they don't got time to serve Him now. Maybe that's you. You need to straighten that out. And you're born again for you to live as Christ. Amen. I mean, all that you're trying to accumulate, He ain't going to ask you how much you made on the island when you get there. I see you owned a big house and you had a bass boat. He don't care about that. What are you doing for Him? What are you doing for Him? A lot of covetous fools, religious fools, and then last of all, the fool for Christ's sake. Brother Don, turn it over to you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.